Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church of Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. Welcome to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. My name's John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas, and we are here on this Memorial Day weekend, certainly recognizing all of those who have given their lives in defense of our freedom to our country, and to those men and women in the armed services that have laid down their lives for us. We are very thankful and grateful that they would be willing to make that sacrifice. The Bible says that there's no greater thing that someone can do for you, a friend can do for you, than to lay down his or her life for you. And so we remember, as a long tradition in our country, those who have given their lives so that we can continue to have the freedom that we have in this country. In the scripture, though, there are some other memorials that we need to recognize as well. And I love Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter of the Bible, where Paul, I believe, is going to give example after example after example of those who lived by faith, who persevered, who did the will of God, and had a confidence that didn't shrink back. In fact, in Hebrews 10 and verse 39, it says, "But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved." And so all through chapter 11, example after example after example after example of those who lived by faith. In verse 32, he says, "And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect." And then chapter 12 goes on to say, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." You see, there is still a battle going on. It's not a physical battle, although wars and skirmishes and those things still exist, and we are still grateful for those public servants that will protect us and our American rights that we have in this country. But here's the thing about it. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, there's another kind of struggle that's going on. There's a different kind of battle. It's not a physical battle, but it's a spiritual battle. And in Ephesians 6:10, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people." You know, I'm telling you that there's a spiritual warfare going on. And Satan would like nothing more than to keep people blinded to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet there are still those who continue to battle and to continue to hold out the word of light. Paul goes on to say there in Ephesians 6 and verse 19, "Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." And Paul could, and we can, because the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who will believe it, who will recognize that God created us, that God gave us everything that we needed for life and to enjoy life and to create and learn and grow and in all those things to be in fellowship with him. But our first parents, Adam and Eve, even they, in a perfect environment, chose to listen to Satan rather than listen to God. And so, right at the very beginning of creation, things went south, if you could say it like that. And since Adam ate that fruit and Eve ate that fruit, that sin and death has been a part of this creation we live in. And we have to deal with all kinds of terrible things, and the worst of which, I think, ultimately is death. You know, I lost my mom at the beginning of April, and my wife just lost her mother this at the beginning of this last week. And it's one of those things that is just, it's mind-blowing, it's numbing, it's kind of like, wow, did this really happen? And you kind of are in emotional fog, and it's hard to live sometimes. And sometimes you just want to burst into tears, and other times you just don't know what to do. And yet through it all, God has made it possible for us to be victorious over death through Jesus Christ. Only in Christ can we have life. All of us are going to die because of sin and because of disease and sickness and everything else in the world that's a result of sin. The body is going to die because of sin, and yet the spirit lives because of righteousness. And ultimately, God is going to renew this whole creation, that sin and death and evil and wickedness, all those things are going to be put away, and it will be without all those things. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more death. And so we're so looking forward to that. But in the meantime, there's a struggle. You know, when Jesus came, when the Son of God came to show us who God really is. In fact, it's what Hebrews chapter 1 tells us. Hebrews chapter 1, we read this last week, but let me read it again. "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word." You see, God sent Jesus into the world to save the world. He sent Jesus into the world because he loved us so much, and he wanted us to know that he's not against us, he's for us. And yet, He wants us to choose to be for him. He could make us be for him, but who wants that? God wants us to choose to be for him. And so God made it possible through his own son that we could come to get to know him. And somebody says, well, how does that work? Well, Jesus is the exact representation of God as a human being. Jesus is exactly what God would be as a human being. Now, God's not a human being. God is the creator. He's not a human being at all. He's a spirit. God is spirit. He wants his worshipers to worship him in spirit and truth. He's not a physical being, and yet he created us as physical beings, and yet also as beings that are able to think and reason and create ourselves and choose, and we're amazing. Everything about us as human beings, okay? The fact that we are human beings, that's what makes us valuable. That's how God created us. And that's what makes us so amazing. And we need to appreciate, we need to celebrate, we need to defend life as human beings. Not all the external things, not how smart or how beautiful we are, or what color skin we have, or whether we're able to process things better. None of those things. But what really matters is the fact that we are created in the image of God. Okay, God created Adam, created Eve, and then from them all other humanity has come. And so God ultimately is that beginning, that first cause. And so Jesus is the exact representation of what God would be as a human being. And God did that so that Jesus could ultimately lay down his life for us. Because in order for God to be just, in order for God to punish our sin, because if he doesn't, he's not just. In order to punish our sin and yet to be able to forgive us and say no penalty for you, somebody has to pay the penalty. Jesus paid that penalty for us. That's the good news. And this is the good news that Christians have been sharing and holding out to the world ever since Jesus came. And yet, it's still a fight. It's almost like a military fight in a different way. There's not guns and knives and the weapons of the world, but we hold out the word of God. We hold out the truth of Scripture. We try to point people to relationship with God and through Jesus Christ. And boy, that's not easy sometimes. Sometimes people are antagonistic toward that, to say the least. Sometimes they persecute. Sometimes they'll even kill. In Revelation chapter 6 and verse 9, the fifth seal, John said, when it was opened, he saw on the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they maintained. So they had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they maintained. Just like a soldier loses his life or loses her life because they are determined to be faithful to defend the cause. And they're determined to do what they said they were going to do. How much more than in a spiritual sense, those that were slain because of the word of God and the testimony they maintained. And they called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" And each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the full number of their fellow servants, their brothers and sisters, were killed just as they had been. And so, you see, there's another war that's been going on through the ages. There's a war for the souls of men. And Satan would like nothing better than to corrupt God's creation, to turn men against their creator, to keep them blind and in the dark and just following after the things of the flesh that will ultimately lead to death and ruin and misery. Boy, that's one way, but I'll tell you what, the way of God is much better. It's the way of life. It's the way of blessing. It's the way of peace. It's the way of salvation. It's the way of assurance. It's the way of love instead of hate. It's the way of selflessness instead of selfishness. And I'll tell you what, there's been a lot of people that have died promoting the cause of Jesus Christ. And I hope that this morning as we consider these things on this Memorial Day weekend, that that you have made a decision to follow Jesus, that you have said, hey, I'm going to take up the full armor of God. I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to be a soldier in the army of Christ, because in that army, there's no backwards. There's just onward. And even though it's not a physical war, spiritual warfare can be quite daunting and quite exhausting and quite hurtful sometimes. And yet, because of what Jesus has done for us, we are willing to say, hey, I'm going to follow Jesus all the way to the very end. Paul understood that when he wrote Timothy his last letter in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says in verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. You know, that sounds just exactly what I want to be able to say. I want to be able to say, I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the race. I hope that's how you feel about it too. And if not, will you consider it? You know, have you really thought about your relationship with God? Have you really thought what that means and what it's all about and how you can find the answers? Friend, if you've never started searching, today's the day. Today's the day to start asking questions and to realize just how amazing our God is. I hope that those of you who are listening that know him are amazed by him. And I hope that those of you that maybe are listening that don't really know that God, much about God, maybe you don't even believe in him, I hope that one day you too will come to be amazed by him. And so let's listen to our first song this morning. This is by Phillips, Craig, and Dean, and it's called Amazed. And I hope that it will bless you as you listen to it this morning.
You dance over me while I am unaware. You sing all around, but I never hear the sound. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me. You paint the sky with a miracle in mind. My hope will always stand, for you hold me in your hand. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me.
Lord, you love me. Oh.
I'm amazed by you.
Lord, I'm amazed every day. So amazed. How you love me, Lord.
All right, we're back this morning, and I want to go back to the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 3, and just share one of my favorite illustrations of three young men who took a stand against a emperor, a king that had all the power and all the authority to end their life and was going to because of their lack of submission to his orders. And yet, as we'll see, or if you already know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not interested in that case in following the king's commands because it would have violated the authority of God, who had given them a different set of ways to live. In Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, had made this huge statue of himself, an image of gold, probably gold-plated, but huge, about 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. And wow, that's huge, isn't it? When you think of a statue that big. And he had that made for himself, and he invited all of the government officials to come to the dedication of this image. And so they were all here. And once everybody got there, the herald loudly proclaimed there in Daniel 3:4, "Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of all these different musical instruments, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing fire." Now, wow, that's pretty harsh, isn't it? And sometimes people get upset with our different presidents, but I'll tell you what, at least none of them to this point have ever told us or commanded us to do that kind of thing, have they? And so, anyway, at this time, some of the other officials that didn't like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they ratted out them because they were envious and jealous. And so they told Nebuchadnezzar, "Hey, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are paying no attention to your rules." And so Nebuchadnezzar summoned them. And the thing about it is he already knew who they were because he already knew who Daniel was. And Daniel had already explained this to him, who he was and who they were. He knew they were Jews, and he knew that they were people of the living God, and their history and all of these things. And so he questions them and basically gives them another chance. Listen, and then he kind of threatens them. He says, "But if you do not, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace, and then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Well, he should have known the answer, but, you know, in a fit of arrogance and pride, he kind of forgot. And I love their reply. They reply to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you've set up." Now that's a perfect example of someone who honors God, but's not being rebellious and attitude problem against the king. You know, they were polite, they were firm, they knew that God could deliver them, and yet they didn't put him in a position to, you know, do this or else. They said he's able to deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we're still not going to serve your gods or worship the image of gold you set up.
they were more concerned about honoring God than they were King Nebuchadnezzar. And so verse 19, of course, Nebuchadnezzar was furious, which is not a good thing for a king to be, and had the furnace heated up 7 times and had some of his strongest soldiers tie them up and throw them in. And as they were throwing them in, it was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who had thrown them in there. I mean, before they even got a chance to get away, that's pretty hot. And so, boy, that seemed to be the end of it. But then verse 24 says, King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked advisors, weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire? Certainly, your majesty. Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the 4th one looks like the son of the gods. In other words, it was an angelic present, or it was the word in some kind of bright form, maybe the very form that he appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration. We don't know. But here's the thing, is that God did deliver them, and Nebuchadnezzar told them to come out. And when they came out, they saw there in verse 27 that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched. There was no smell of fire on them. And so here's the thing about it. They trusted God, and God delivered them. And yet, here's the thing, even if God would have let them be burned up, okay, far better to be burned up and go out honoring God and refusing to bow down and worship something or someone other than God. How much better would it be to go out and face God in his presence with that kind of determination, that kind of courage, that kind of faith? And yet God did deliver him in that case. And Nebuchadnezzar was amazed. And he said in verse 28, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. And so he goes, therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save in this way. And of course, we know there is no other God. But here's the thing about it is that it's amazing that God delivered them, and Nebuchadnezzar's heart and mind were turned because of that, because these young men were willing to sacrifice themselves for doing what was right. And I'll tell you what, that's really at the heart of it. Jesus himself laid down his life so that we might live. Hey, thank you so much for listening this morning. It is such a joy to be able to share the Word of God with you. I'm so thankful for the radio stations that we can be on that broadcast this. Thank you so much to be able to share the Word of God with Las Vegas. And we're the church at Las Vegas. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. That's right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. And we'd love to come. We'd love to have you come and meet with us. We meet Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6, and Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. Any or all of those times, love to meet you, love to talk with you, love to be able to share life with you and answer questions and point you to a relationship with God. We're also on the web at thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com. And until next week, Lord willing, keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Have a great week. God bless you.